God's word for you, Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10. But you are the one who brought me out of the belly. You made me trust when I was at my mother's breasts. I was cast on you from the womb, from the belly of my mother. You have been my God. There's more than one word for belly or tummy in Hebrew. There is the thing below the rib cage in general. As Daniel says, its belly and thighs were made of bronze. And there is the place where food goes or a cruel spear thrust. And finally, it's the simple word for a woman's abdomen. So delightful when she was pregnant and it looks like a mound of wheat, as in the Song of Solomon. Another more technical word means the womb itself. In my translation above, I have taken cues from the Evangelical Heritage Version to distinguish between these words, and I've used belly for one and womb for another. This passage has at least four points of significance for us. First, David describes his faith as coming to him while in the womb. This is David's simple confession of faith. In a similar vein, he confesses that having been sinful from the same moment when he says, "Surely I was sinful from the time my mother conceived me," in Psalm 51:5. Sinful man inherits original sin at conception and is in need of a Savior already at that time. But what God demands or requires, he also gives, and therefore we have been given the means of grace. In the matter of coming to faith, this is especially the realm of baptism and the teaching of the gospel. Second, by extension, we can see how faith comes through the means of grace, even when we do not understand its workings. It is not for us to question how little children can believe, but to accept what the scriptures say. Now, I can attest from my own earliest memories that I believed in Jesus as my Savior even before I learned to talk, because I remember thinking about the lessons my parents read to me at bedtime while I was a toddler, the same age that I remember wandering around my mother's flower beds, sounding out all the new words I was just first learning: cup, bird, fence, spoon, grass, and so on. Now, however old such a child is, what, 18 months, 2 years, I already at that age knew that Jesus took away my sins. Conversion is a miracle of God, whether it happens to a child or a grown-up. And Kaler adds, "With regard to unbaptized children, we have reason to assume that, as in the Old Testament, the girls were received into the covenant without circumcision, so God has a way to save infants of Christian parents if they die before it is possible to baptize them. We do not dare to assume this with regard to the children of unbelievers. Here we are in the realm of the unsearchable judgment of God." Third, we are reminded that the human soul is present even before a person is born, and therefore we are warned, as in other places, not to end a human life while it is still in the womb. An inanimate object, such as a stone, cannot sin. Nor can a living thing without a soul, such as a flower or a bird or an ape. But, as Ezekiel says, the soul who sins is the one who will die. And therefore, a being in the mother's womb who is sinful, Psalm 51, is a being with a soul. The Old Testament demanded retribution for a human life. If a woman was hurt by another person and, for example, miscarried her baby, Moses says, if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely and there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's Exodus 21. In ancient times, ending a pregnancy was a common sin. In his original doctor's oath, Hippocrates included a statement that said, "I will not give drugs that will induce an abortion." A North African plant that is depicted in ancient coins from Libya was the usual abortion-inducing drug. It was also a major Libyan cash crop, but it was overused and over-harvested to extinction. A human being has a soul and is in need of a Savior. An infant is a creation of God, and parents are responsible for that infant's care. The fifth commandment teaches us not to murder, whether an elderly person, a person in the bloom of youth, or a baby in the womb. Do not murder. And fourth, David prophesies the incarnation of Christ in the womb of Mary, his mother, and the life of complete trust in the Father that Jesus had even as a helpless infant. David foresees the incarnation of the Savior as a human being. This was because a human was needed to repair what a human failed to do. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, this is Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive. The Bible also teaches us that, or rather the integrity of the human nature of Christ. Christ has the essential parts of the human nature. Jesus said, for example, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He had a real fleshly body. He was not a ghost. And in fact, he categorically denied that he was a ghost even after his resurrection. He says in Luke 24:39, "A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Since the human nature of Jesus is truly human, it shares the human weaknesses that belong to humanity since the fall into sin. Not because this was necessary, but because Christ, out of love, took these weaknesses onto himself, along with the adoption of true humanity. Thus Christ is God and man in one person. The divine and human natures are united in one person. Christ our Savior did this in order to accomplish so very much for us. He lived the perfect human life demanded of us all. He suffered the terrible punishment of hell in our place, atoning for all of our sins by his sacrifice. For it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He instituted the sacraments as means of grace along with the gospel preaching so that his forgiveness could be made even more certain in us by a physical washing and the physical eating and drinking. This is the washing of baptism and the meal of the Lord's Supper. He called and trained his apostles to proclaim this gospel to the world. So through this one, the incarnate Son of God, already at his mother's breast, vulnerable, weak, in need of so much, yet also the creator of the universe and the savior of all, including that same mother, as she confessed, he came to rescue us, to suffer scorn and punishment in our place. And through him, we have the gift of everlasting life. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.